listening to Cleveland Browns Daily, driven by Liberty Ford on ESPN 850 WKNR.
Don't just watch the draft, play the draft with the Cleveland Browns for your chance to win incredible prizes. Play the Draft is a new free fantasy NFL draft game. The first contest is live right now. Sign up at clevelandbrowns.com today. We're going to go to the most patient man in Cleveland now, Tom in Canfield on the line with us. And we also want to take your calls, 216-578-0850. Should you match for Mac, any draft talk, anything you want, hit us up right now on Browns Daily. Tom, though, welcome to the show.
Good afternoon. I enjoy the show very much, and
Thank you. Really appreciate it.
Thank you.
Hey, I'd like to make a statement before I talk about the draft real quick, if I may. You had Jim Donovan on all week, and I'd like to point out, as a father, he's a good role model to point out. When I heard the story that he sat in the Brown Stadium, in the old Municipal Stadium, and called games sitting there with his dad, you know, in practice, that has to be his dream job, and for that to come to fruition through hard work, I mean, it's a good thing to point to as a father.
It's awesome. Yeah.
And as far as the draft goes, I would definitely, of course, I'd match Max money. Why not? We need, you know, we don't want to start over there yet.
Sure.
I have a question to you guys. Now, being it's a deep draft, if we're not sold on a quarterback and when we trade back, let's say, three or four spots, and we're still able to get a game-changing player at that point, we think, and pick up a second-round pick. And then how about if we took the back end of our draft and maybe even a pick next year because it's such a deep draft, and package it up to where we have, it should be possible to get with first and second round six picks and just potentially five starters or five impact players. And, I mean, 10 picks, do you think all 10 would really make the team?
And, no, okay.
And I might just question, was that something that you would consider?
Okay. Thank you for the call. Thank you for the kind words. And you're absolutely right about Jim Donovan and the passion that he brings to his job and to everything he does with us. To answer the second question first, I don't think 10 players impact your team. The odds of that are very slim. At best, you bat 500. The best general managers, the best selectors of talent in the history of this game, ones who are in the Pro Football Hall of Fame or regarded the best at it, have done that, have batted 500. Now, in terms of trading and maximizing and such, people do get nervous when they hear discussion about that. I would not be opposed to that, but I want to see the rhyme and the reason and know what's driving it. In a draft like this and with the needs the Browns have, I'm thinking the quarterback position is going to be the potential driver to such maneuvering to get to a lower spot than four to get that quarterback, but maybe higher than 26, and then adding assets to what you have so you can address these multiple positions. And I think the way they've gone about their business in free agency, going on the higher agent at respective spots, they can mirror these positions as well as get some spots that they haven't really addressed in free agency in the draft.
Yeah, I think you're exactly right. I think quarterback is going to be the determining factor on how they do things. Now, I could envision a scenario, as he pointed out, 10 picks not likely to all make the team, where they package some of the later picks to try to move back up into, say, the third round to pick up a third, or to pick up a second, which I would love to see happen if they're able to make such a move there. So that's something that I'm going to keep an eye on, because I do think when you have that many assets, you're not going to draft 10 guys aren't making the team. So the more effectively you can package them either to move up this year in this rich draft or package them to get better picks next year, which is one thing that, like them or not, you got to admit that Mike Lombardi and Joe Banner did well in terms of positioning this team for this draft with that extra third and that extra fourth.
They did, for sure. They did. And I think they did this team a favor, I think, by having those better choices, those upgraded picks for a draft like this, because by all indications, there is more talent in this draft. And I don't know if that was the true reason they did what they did then. Some could argue that maybe their draft plan wasn't as thorough and as clean as it needed to be. You could make those arguments. Certainly, the picks that were made can leave something to be desired until we see what happens with Barkevious Mingo in year two. And, you know, let's talk about Leon McFadden as well in year two. But overall, you know, it's the additional or the upgraded picks that they got now at three and four could come into play here at the very least for draft or trade capital. Mike in Youngstown wants to join us. Hello, Mike.
Gentlemen, how you doing?
Good, Mike.
All right. As it seems to be playing out, you know, something that I've talked about or said for a long time, you know, the quarterback's actual worth. I don't know what you guys think about. I really like McCarron or Garoppolo. Is that how you say it?
Garoppolo.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, down. I don't even know how long they're going to be around, but if we make the right moves, this could sound crazy, but if we make the right moves, and I think we can make the playoffs next year. And I want to ask hypothetically before I hang up, if Hoyer plays the whole year last year, how do you think our record ends up? Thanks for taking my call.
You got to thank you. No, I don't think I'm as optimistic as they come. I don't think it's out of the realm of possibility this team turns it around and has an opportunity to go into the playoffs this season. As for how things would have worked out with Hoyer, it's interesting because we don't know how teams and defenses would have adjusted to him once there was a large body of his work on tape. And that's something that you never got to see, how he adjusted to the adjustments that were going to be made to him. And that's something you need to see over the course of a full season. I think, obviously, good, competent quarterback play would have allowed this team to be more successful in 2013 than it was last year.
Yeah, real quick, I think it's so hard to do the what-if with him over the full season. Really, even to project out from those two games, as promising as they were, you still saw some things that obviously he needed to work on, that he knows he needs to work on, but you liked most of what you saw. You certainly just liked the energy that he brought to it, the urgency that he showed. And again, let's be honest. A lot of the good feelings for Brian Hoyer were magnified by the bad feelings for what you saw from Brandon Whedon. And it's as simple as that. And then you had Jason Campbell later on, but really that was the primary thing, I think, that drove it. And it's not to take something away from Brian, but it's really hard for me to say. I needed to see a much larger body of work, and to me it would have been a week-to-week test, and Nathan makes a great point. Teams will adjust. Nathan had a chance to talk with a guy who did a lot to help Brian Hoyer, Brandon Whedon. Jason Campbell put up some yards because he was – doing a whole lot with the football, catching it, and then what he did with it after he caught it, and that is the one and only Josh Flash Gordon. Here's what they had to say.
Here with Josh Gordon. Josh, coming off a great season, how excited are you to be back in the building, getting ready to get back to work?
Extremely excited. You know, the energy here is just amazing right now, and I'm ready to get back to work. I was so bored in the offseason. Glad to have something to do.
Well, you had some fun in the offseason, I'm sure. You're getting making the rounds, et cetera. What was the most fun thing you did this offseason?
Most fun thing had to be the Pro Bowl. Going to Hawaii for the first time, that was a big deal to me.
Yeah, certainly a big honor. Now you get to work with Kyle Shanahan, who has a history of feeding the ball to his number one receivers, guys like Andre Johnson in the past. How excited are you to work with Coach Shanahan?
I'm really excited. You know, to have a guy like that and that offense has been amazing. I ran it before with Coach Shermer, similar offense to the West Coast, but I talked to actually Robert Griffin about it, you know, RG3, and he told me it's great. I should love it, so we'll see.
How do you approach the challenge now that you've reached basically the pinnacle of your profession at the wide receiver position last year, doing it again, staying consistent, and being able to become that superstar year in and year out?
No, I don't think I really reached my pinnacle yet.
I think
that's just the tip of the iceberg, you know, really. Yeah. I think I can go a lot higher, a lot further than that. But, you know, I think just hard work and what we do here in the offseason is going to depend on that.
How do you feel about the vibe that's in the building this year? This is your third year here. Is it a little bit different? Do you sense anything different as you guys get ready for this season?
I really think so. A lot more guys buying in. You know, the young guys we did have, like myself, growing up, becoming veterans in this game, learning how to play, how to last longer, stuff like that, and exactly what you need to do to become a winner. So I think a lot of guys are seeing exactly the intangibles and details that we need to get in to really figure out how to get W's up there.
And what do you think about the additions on the offense? Ben Tate to come be the running back. You get Andrew Hawkins in the slot, a speed guy. And then Nasty Nate Burleson, a little bit of a veteran presence.
Yeah, I mean, we actually got to see Hawkins for the first time out there today running routes with us. He's extremely fast and quick, man. I haven't seen a guy like that in a while. But I know Nate hasn't came yet, but Ben Tate, I'm from Houston, so I was watching. I've been a fan since he got drafted. So I'm excited to see what's going to happen this offseason.
All right, Josh, we're excited. Thanks so much, man. Welcome back. All right.